This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Nolan Show, and you're listening to our bonus track from our November 25th podcast.
Oh, did you want to talk about something else?
I was just looking to see if... We didn't do No Child Left Behind. We didn't do All Kids Left Behind or All Classes Held Up or whatever.
Yeah, that was the thing about the people are, you know, what they're doing is they're getting A's and B's. They're
plunking. Right. My neighbor's kid, would that happen to?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she was outrage. literally had
honor
like student. Yeah. 3.5 GPA or something. And and she just barely passed the thing. And I think it might have been like she got to take it a second time or something.
No, they have, what they have, of course, is remedial stuff.
Okay.
In other words, and they do that here. I mean, this is the most popular course over here at San Diego Community College. They have it at the university as well. It's called remedial English and remedial math. And basically what they do is they cram the stuff that you were supposed to be doing for the last 12 years. They cram it into a 6-month program so that you can be brought up to university standards. It's mind boggling. So they have the same thing with these tests. If you flunk the test, you got a 3.5 average. You're an honor student at your school. You flunk the test. So you take they have special courses now that do teach to the test. So you can take it again. And pass it. I mean, the convoluted ridiculousness of this whole thing is just, it's mind-boggling. It's staggering.
Well, the one-size-fits-all school is just such
Well, of course, see, that's what you do. The one-size-fits-all is, it's called indoctrination. That's what you do. You try and fit everybody into the mold. Everybody gets to wear a little brown shirt. Everybody gets to goose-step around. And you salute the flag every morning. And
everybody gets a little red book.
That's it. I mean, seriously, if you think that's not what's going on here.
No, I fully know that it is. I mean, I fully know that it's happening that way.
What is astounding to me is that education is something that you can do in your home. It's not like a road. You have a hard time building a road down to the local. This is something literally you can do in your own home.
Especially these days with the internet and, I mean, in libraries. I mean, there are libraries within
libraries.
My
question is, why do you nationalize something that you can basically, that competition would fix in a second? It would fix it. If you just let competition, why do you nationalize?
They believe in the government.
I know, but it's astounding to me when you can look out as they say, are you going to believe what I'm telling you or what your lying eyes see? The simple fact is that when you go to the spelling bees and all the stuff that's national stuff on TV, at least one of the finalists is homeschooled. If not the winner is homeschooled. And you can bet that the one that went to the government-run school is named Chang or something. I mean, this is a person who went home and had no life except learning stuff. So they even though they went to the government-run school, they were essentially homeschooled. For all intents and purposes,
yeah.
You can say what you want,
right?
But basically, they got home.
There's no question. Those schools don't turn out. This is the idea. If no child gets left behind, that means everybody has to wait for the slowest child.
Not only that, the thing that they don't realize is basic mathematics, something called an average. They say, well, we're going to bring all the students up to the average. Well, wait a minute. You can't do that.
Right. No, you can't.
Sorry. It's mathematically impossible. If you bring everybody up to the average just moved. I mean, it's the Heisenberg principle. You can't do that.
No, seriously.
and time and time again.
We're below average again.
Yeah, right.
We're below average again. No, what I like is when they go, well, we're the 47th state, state. We're 32nd among the states in such. It's like,
right.
Well, somebody's got to be.
Exactly.
Somebody's got to be.
Not you.
You know?
I mean, I understand that it would be, if you're number 50 and you still do understand perfectly Einstein's theory of relativity, everybody understands perfectly.
Right.
Okay, you've moved the bar up. I can appreciate that. And unfortunately, it's not what happened. But these days, the knowledge seems to be, as we saw on television, and I didn't get a chance to talk about this, the big news, the big news for 2 weeks now, on every channel you can visit, is 24/7 is Tomcat.
Right.
I mean, my God. I mean, you know, give it a rest. I mean, it is astounding watch how many channels devote how much time and how many people, millions of dollars. Let me put it this way. Probably almost as much money as they spent on their wedding has been spent on the news gatherers and the insiders.
Oh,
and
I bet it's upwards of $1 billion once you include all the international press and everybody and all the plane flights and the coverage and, Yahoo. I mean,
and the freelancers and
yeah, no, literally,
the blogs.
Like you said, yeah, the paparazzi. I mean, everybody is on these one people's wedding.
Yeah.
But hey, that I mean, if people want to focus on something like that, that's fine. You know, go bananas. I mean, who cares? I mean, in terms
except I think that in a more perfect world, which we're not headed that way right now. I think that people, if it weren't for the government intrusion and everything, that they would concentrate on things that really mattered more. But right now what happens is the government says, we'll take care of that. We'll take care of your retirement, take care of your health care, take care of your education. Don't worry about any of that. And of course it's all collapsed. Those things are collapsing or have collapsed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, healthcare, we just talked about the Medicare thing. That is, what they're going to do is the same thing they did in Oregon. They make a list of 780 known diseases, and each year they figure out how much money they've got, and they draw a line. And if you're below the line, you're not covered. End of story. They've rated it 780. They've rated them 1 through 780. If you happen, for you, of course, if you happen to be, let's say the line's drawn at 500, if you happen to be number 501, you can bet for you it's number one. But you're not covered.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So the deal is that they are, and what you're going to find is with Medicaid, that is going to go up and up and up, and you're going to find, okay, the top 10 are covered.
Right.
And the rest of them just aren't. And so the fact is that universal coverage is going to mean nobody gets covered.
Right. No, it's just the...
You don't see it coming. You don't see it coming. It's going to be all chewed up in the bureaucracy. The special interest groups are going to be people filling out the paperwork. When you think about it, I did a little math on this the other day. Do you realize that if you took the city of Gainesville and everybody in the city of Gainesville did one thing and one thing only, what they did is they filled out paperwork. They given forms. And all they did was, according to a set of rules that changed every year, they had to learn the rules and everything, and they fill out this paperwork, and then they give the paperwork to someplace outside of Gainesville. They don't care. They don't know. That's all they did. 40-hour work week, 50 weeks a year, 2 weeks for vacation, and so forth. Everybody in Gainesville, that's all they did. Question, what kind of contribution to society is that? None. I mean, they're not making anything. They're just... But the entire city... Well, you realize it's at least that much that people use in filling out tax forms.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, my point is, there are 100,000 people here in Gainesville who are worthless tits on this planet. Their life means nothing. They have contributed nothing, essentially. They have accomplished nothing. I mean, other than filling out this paperwork, it's like the Golden Gopher.
That's what's so frustrating about the legal work that I'm doing right now. It's this giant fiction. It's this giant set of rules that everybody created. And what I do is navigate through this fiction and help people sort of come out on the other side.
Well, you're like an ombudsman almost. And they had the same thing here. They tried to have the same thing here in Gainesville. I was noticing a couple of things. One is when I was in Walmart the other day at 5 o'clock in the morning, all the Walmart people, how can I help shirts? So they tried that here for in Gainesville for a little while for the government employees. They put, how can I help or something like that. Ask me, I'll help. It lasted about 10 minutes.
I remember that.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Because
don't ask me, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, they what a joke. So everybody knew it was a joke. I mean, they were laughing at these people. And they said, we're not taking that. I'm not taking any of this because they know I'm for the government and I'm not here to help you. So they went away the way of the dinosaur very quickly. So that I had a point that was, what did you just say? I had another point and I lost my train. It was right on the same test subject.
Ombudsman.
Ombudsman, right. Here in Gainesville, they supposedly, in order to fast track the construction, because it is such a nightmare to go through the procedure, they bow down at the altar procedure. And as you say, the form, so they get a guy like you, an attorney, or they get an ombudsman here to guide, to take you through the hoops, the pitfalls, the steeplechase, if you will, to get to the end. I mean, you have to pay somebody to do that. I mean, what a waste of time.
No,
look, we all know what we're doing.
It's just a huge waste of time.
When you think about
I'm going to go rent the movie Brazil again because it's been so long since I've seen it, and I want to see what other things in there I pick up on.
Yeah.
And because I remember it was just so astonishing. And
that movie's like 20 years old.
Yeah. It's 20 years old. The only way he could have possibly done it is because it's British, And of course, they're further advanced in the socialism than we are by about 20 years.
Well, interesting, because 1984 was written by a socialist in 1949.
Okay. I didn't know he was a socialist.
Yeah, he was. Oh, committed.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he was showing the pitfalls of socialism, but you don't do this. We're true believers in socialism, but don't do this.
Right.
you know, he was saying that that's not socialism. Socialism was the good part. This is the bad part. Yeah, George Orwell was a. So the point is that even here in town, you have to hire Casso and Ellington or somebody like that. Anytime you want to get anything done, you have to pay big money to these people to present it to the commission. They know all the rules. I mean, who can know the rules? All I want to do is build a building, for God's sakes.
No,
it'll add to downtown. We're not taking your word for it. We think you're a liar, and we think you're going to pollute everything.
Prove it.
Prove it. And you have to go through. I've watched Harvey Budd, our friend. You know, he's on the one of those volunteer boards. That's the redevelopment advisory board or something. And you know, I don't know about that. And these guys, they act like government people, even though they're on an advisory board. Their first instinct is to say no.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's their job.
Their job is to say no. They are gatekeepers.
If they say yes, they've done nothing. They perform no job.
Right.
And so
you get fired for saying yes.
Right.
You know, the cop comes back and he says, I didn't write any tickets today. I didn't see anybody. No, well, then we don't need you.
That's it. You're out of here, buddy. No, obviously, we don't need you.
Yeah.
And that's.
But I mean, you see the furrowed brow. And, well, I don't know. I just. I watched another one that was another one of the other voluntary commissions. And somebody, they were explaining this stuff. And I think I mentioned this in last week's show. They were clueless. They were so out of their element. I mean, the two attorneys were talking about things that were, the one was for the city and one was for the guy wanting whatever it was. And the guy that wanted whatever it was explained it, you know, just, you know, in baby, you know, kitty talk. And what they were worried about was, are we responsible? Can we get sued for this? Women, if we make a decision, you know, what's going to happen? You know, typically we're a volunteer board.
Well, you know,
we don't have to, if we make a decision, I mean, like nobody's going to actually know. And if anything goes wrong, I mean, you know, we're just a volunteer. We just said, you know, we raised our... But now they were indicating that maybe they'd come back and when they sued this, they'd be named in the suit. Well, wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute.
I'm beginning to focus a little bit more on some of the tort law and potential changes because, I mean, it is at the place now where everybody's afraid to be getting sued. I mean,
right.
We have magistrates that preside over a lot of our hearings. And they won't do anything because they're afraid that if they do anything, I mean, they take the most narrow rulings, the little tiny baby steps towards whatever it is, whichever direction, unless the government advocates it, in which case they go hog.
Then that's somebody else. That's somebody else. They can point to that.
Right, exactly. Right.
Not me.
And those people are insulated because they're just doing their job.
Well, they have what they call
color of authority.
Well, they have its sovereign immunity.
Right.
Also, that pertains.
I mean, the DCF is just...
Oh, no, those people are criminals. But they ought to be... No, seriously. And that's another thing. When you could actually, even though they operate in the passive voice, you can still go back to the board and find out something they did 10 or 20 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 2 years ago even, and say, look, this has created an abomination. We should be able to sue you for this. And they say, no, A, it was decided.
Right.
You know, I mean, I voted, yeah, but I mean, basically, right. everybody, there was 1,000 people involved in this, and
you know,
this is very diffuse thing. Who are you going to sue? We have sovereign immunity.
The department.
Yeah, the department staff came up with the recommendation. We had a paid consultant.
That's what they call themselves. I tell my clients, you know, I'm like, well, they call themselves the department. You know, I mean, yeah, it's like it's so pervasive. There's the only one.
Yeah,
And then what they do, I mean, it's their job to find something wrong with your family.
Yep.
And I mean, if they don't, then what are they good for?
Yeah. What are they?
So they're going to find something. And I mean,
this is so typical. It's just like I said with the corn thing. I mean, they every family is dysfunctional on some level. I don't care.
That's the point. I mean, that's why we try to avoid those psych analysis like the plague.
Yes.
And I mean, because they just always come back and say, something, you know, you can all, and what the, and the DCF people just say, well, Your Honor, this class can't hurt them. That's their new big one as well. Taking all these classes can't hurt them. I'm like, yes, it does. It takes them away from their jobs. It takes them away from their families. You know, it forces them to pay. I mean, for these services. Oh my God.
Well, not only that, what if the teacher has a bone to pick or something? What happens if
absolutely.
They're caught wrong?
Oh, they don't even. Those people are so insulated. I mean, they are so insulated. They're so protected.
Asbestos got nothing on them.
Nothing, man. I mean, you couldn't. The teacher could practically beat a person in class and get away with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen them throw people out of class. And if you miss one class, you have to start over.
All over. Yep.
And they can do it for anything, you know. And they don't have to have a reason.
No, didn't. I mean, it is. You're right about that. You come in a couple of seconds late. You just anything.
But even the classes, like the people can do a class and get done with it, and then it's over. But the psychologist report, it's open ended. You know, I mean, the psychologist can come back and say,
"I had it.
These people will never be good parents." And then what do? They terminate their rights as parents, and they use the psychologist report as the freaking evidence.
Let me tell you something. I went through the DUI thing, and they had a psychologist after I was done with the thing. She says, well, you have to have a final exit thing or whatever. And I went in there, and she told me exactly that. She said, well, you might have to come back again and again and again. I mean, it's up to me to decide.
Right.
And I'm looking at this person, and I'm thinking, now she was semi-okay, but obviously this is a person who couldn't make it in the private world.
No.
Let me put it this way. She was private, but she was on. She was a consultant for the state. So she was being paid with state money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're private, all right, but give me a break. Without this mandatory student thing, whatever it is, you'd be out of business.
Right. Mandatory. Man, it is just up and down the river, those people. And what are they going to do? Well, let's assume for a minute this psychologist comes back and says whatever. They're going to give them freaking the same parenting class, which shows you how to, like, you know, warm a bottle and crap like that. Like as if this has anything to do with them keeping Uncle So-and-so away from these kids or whatever. I mean, it's just...
Well, then they have the warning signs. And the warning signs are anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Anything, man.
Anything. You know, your child comes home crying. They come home... You know, a kid comes home with a bruise.
Right. Oh, no. Bruise, man. Bruises.
Bruise.
I've told you. I've heard DCF people say, my kids don't get bruises. You know? And I'm thinking, well, then who does? I mean, If your kids don't get bruises, well, I mean, then nobody gets a bruise, right? I mean,
well, it's just, I mean,
and I've heard them say kids don't tell lies. Kids don't lie. Well, who does? I mean, is it just adults that, you know, you grow
where do they
into
learn?
It?
Where do they learn? Kids naturally lie.
Oh, absolutely.
They naturally, you know? The first thing that they do is lie. In fact, you have to beat it into them not to lie. I remember I was lying to my mother until I remember when I came down, I was 15 years old, I said, I'm not going to lie to you. Probably after that, I might have lied one. But, I mean, I cut way back. I mean, I was lying for no reason at all. And she knew it. Everybody knew it.
Right.
It was a joke. I mean, it was really bad. But you do, it is a natural thing for kids to lie. I didn't do it. That's the first thing that they say.
Right.
The wind is broken. They're standing there with the ball in their hand. There's glass all over the place.
Right.
And they say, I didn't do it.
Right.
it's just the, I remember when I burned, when I accidentally.
The fire
in the thing. Yeah. I came downstairs and says, now look, I'm going to tell you something, but I didn't do it. There was no chance.
The other people must have climbed out the window or something.
Yeah, something. I mean, third floor. Third floor. Right,
exactly. Oh man. And they shot this 92-year-old woman. They did not knock.
I didn't. Now, it didn't say that in the article.
Well, if you looked around, I actually found an article in the Japan Times.
Ah,
yes,
as where it should have been.
Right, and they finally said they called out.
Right.
It says, but they didn't receive a response. So they forced the door.
Right,
and that's when the shooting started.
Well, she was sitting there armed because she's living in a dangerous neighborhood.
Right,
she was worried about crack addicts.
And the only reason it's a dangerous neighborhood is why. Because the drugs are illegal.
That's right.
You know, I mean, if the drugs were legal, her neighborhood would be Mount Pleasant.
That's right.
Because they wouldn't need to have guns to protect their supplies.
Right.
Because they can't do
it anyway.
What
happened was that they said, of course, they were still looking for the guy. What happened was that they'd made a buy in the house.
Right.
And so they came back to arrest the guy.
Right.
Not knowing whether he was there or not. Of course, 92-year-old ladies now.
Came back at night. And they forced her door open at night in the bad neighborhood. I mean, what do you
who
expect?
Who wouldn't shoot?
Right. I mean seriously.
Seriously, who wouldn't? Yeah, obviously, this woman sleeps with a gun by her bed.
Right.
And, you know, crash.
She heard somebody shout, plain clothes.
Right.
Plain clothes. She heard somebody shouting. And the next thing she knows, three men are coming in the door. She's blazing off rounds. I mean, blazing off rounds. That's what she did.
So the question is, now they said they're going to investigate it. Are they going to get off? Here, I want to know from our attorney here. Are the three guys going to get off?
Yes.
Okay. They'll, justified somehow, whatever?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They will be completely relieved.
Exonerated
of any responsibility. They did what they were supposed to do.
They did their job. Was it? I was just doing my job.
Right.
And we followed the rules.
Right.
We hollered it out.
They won't. I don't even think they'll even get suspended.
Well, no, and of course, what they'll do, of course, without pending pay. Any hearing, yeah, I was going to say, if they get suspended, it'll be with pay.
Right.
Then they'll be reinstated.
Right.
And even if they, even
back
if,
pay.
Back pay, right, right. Exactly. If they are suspended, they'll get back pay. I'm telling you, this country is going to lockdown, and it's because of the drug wars as much as anything else.
Yeah.
And they're tying it with the terrorists, and we're going into lockdown. And if you think, I'm telling you, if the listeners of Jimmy Dones Show are not planning an escape route, it's their own damn fault. Don't say you weren't warned.
Don't say you weren't
warned and go and make a donation.
That's it.
For Jimmy's escape route.
Get your boat.
That's it. I did want to mention, by the way, that if I do get enough donations to get a place down there, that everybody that listens to Jimmy Dones Show is invited.
Woohoo!
Yeah, not same time, necessarily. Uh-huh. If it's big enough, we'll do it. But you know, if we get like $1 million, then everybody's invited whenever they want to show up. It'll be like your own timeshare. It's a free, you know, if we get enough people, think of what timeshares cost these days, $20,000-$30,000, you know? So I figure if everybody that listens to Jimmy Dones Show just contributes, say, $5,000, then we could really have a nice place down there, and you could come when the shit hits the fan, come on down, we'll have a party. We'll have our own little libertarian enclave.
Yep, tonight is the Orlando Libertarian Social. I was going to go. It's in a half hour.
You're probably not going to make it.
Nope.
Not from here.
Not going to make it. Yep. Did you see you saw the EPA thing sent you, I guess.
Which one was that?
The one where they're going to regulate the silver.
Yes, and the nanotechnology.
Right.
I mean, what they've done is they made a regulatory decision is what they did. No laws or anything.
Yeah.
They just suddenly decided.
We're
going to change federal policy. No laws. Right. Nobody gets to vote on this. Nothing. Guess what? We've decided that today.
It's reasonable.
It's reasonable to think that we're worried about the
silver in the environment.
Silver in the environment.
Micro amounts that are being weaved into clothing now, which kill all the bacteria. So it prevents, you know, the stinky clothes and whatever.
And so what they're worried about is when you flush your microfiber shirt down the toilet or burn it or whatever it is, it's going to go into the lakes and streams and kill all the algae, I guess.
Right, exactly. Apparently, Silent Spring, it's going to happen.
Silent Spring, Rachel Carlson.
Right.
And anybody, it's funny because that is the equivalent. There are three muckraters, if you want to call it that, on this planet that have contributed most to the degradation of this country. One was Harriet Beecher Stowe, Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is total fiction. Not total fiction, but it was what started a lot of this stuff. And then there was the Ida Rebell, who did she was against she was the one that coined the phrase or really popularized the phrase of the robber barons.
Uh-huh.
And Rachel Carlson, which banned DDT, which has caused untold millions of deaths by the banning of DDT.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, literally more people than died in a gulag.
Killed more people than Stalin.
She killed more people than Stalin. Rachel Carlson, thank you so much, killed more people than Stalin. You know, I mean, it's astounding. And they know it. And they still refuse to re-legalize DDT, even in Africa.
Maybe Bill Gates will get it going with his malaria thing.
Yeah, let's hope. Because, I mean, anybody will tell you. It is as if, so nothing I want to talk about, if I didn't talk about it before, was the 401k, the pension business. There was a thing on PBS the other day about the pension business, and the guy didn't understand what he was saying about how this happened. But it's a typical example of an item that was used as something that was never designed to be used for, and it created all kinds of havoc and odeur. And DDT was never meant to be sprayed on fields. It was supposed to be sprayed on walls where it is totally inert. You can eat the stuff, lick it, do whatever. It happens to have a unique thing that anytime a mosquito lands on the wall, it dies. Then that's all. Nothing else happens. No spiders, no flies, no mosquitoes land on it, die. I don't know, they sort through their feet or something. I forget what it is. And the same thing happened with the 401ks. I don't know if anybody knows this, but think about it. This is of the IRS code. 401, it's paragraph 401 in the IRS code, subchapter K.
Right.
K for Kodak. It was designed specifically to address a wanted thing. Some buddy, the lobbyist for Kodak, got in there and said, look, you know, our top CEOs here, they want to have a little way that they can put some money aside tax-free. And they slipped it in as kind of an earmark thing. Only K for Kodak. And actually, if you look at a K and you bend it a little bit, it looks like an X because it was also for Xerox. Up in New York, in wherever Kodak, I forget what it is, in Rochester, the Kodak and Xerox were both up there. And they got their Rochester legislator person to slip this 401k in there so that their top officials could
save
some money, tax money. And what happened was, a couple of years after that, somebody found out that the wording of the thing turned out it might apply to more than one person. So they took it in front of the IRS, and the IRS said, yeah, well, you know, looks like it's not only them. It looks like it could apply to your client. Well, it turns out that it opened the floodgates, and that is why we have the pension problems today, is only because of that. The 401ks were never meant. They were meant to support 10 people, and all of a sudden there's 50 or 100 million people in on this little thin straw of paragraph 401, buried 401 paragraphs in it, K in from that. And this little thin straw was supposed to support 10 people. Now it's trying to support 100 million. And duh, it's broken. It's breaking. It can't do it. It makes perfect sense. And now they want to fix it, not by repealing 401k or anything like that. I mean, they don't know what to do. They're running around like chickens with their head cut off. I mean, it's astounding to think that a major problem like that is going to affect tens of millions of people is a government problem from day one. And it happens every day.
EPA, they want the companies to prove that their stuff will not affect the environment.
And you can't prove a negative.
No, I mean, how are you?
It can't be done. No, everybody knows that. No, so they've got themselves jobs for life. No, I mean, it's why would anybody even? It would take a bureaucratic mind to come up with that, I guess. And that they would say.
Well, it just shows you the level of people in those administrative agencies. I mean, even at the top, they are so far down the list. I mean, it's your high school guidance counselors, you know, is like way above these people in terms of intellectual functioning.
Right.
And yet they have control and they wield it like
they're bullies too. I mean, they have the gun. It's like that's the thing. They have
the flies, you know.
They have the power of the gun. Ultimately, when all is said and done, if you don't like what they're doing,
they shoot you.
They shoot. They can send people around, sheriffs, marshals, whatever it is. And that's the ultimate power. I've said that here locally. The local people here when they want to, they talk about, for instance, partnering all the time here locally. One of the things they love to do is say, well, we're going to have a private-public partnership. Well, you know, it's not a partnership when one of the people has a gun.
Just the whole idea. I mean, it's like when they said that they were going to try vouchers on a limited free market basis. Or, you know, it's like, well, we're going to let it apply to 4% of the schools, something like that, and in a little teeny tiny district of, you know, such school district or something. It's like, that's not the market. I mean, that's just not the market. How can you can't.
And what happens if it's a resounding success? Nothing.
Not probably.
No. I mean, that is the case. What they do is, of course, here locally, they actually set it up in a way that at least a couple of them were doomed to failure. And then they said, oh, see, it's a failure of the market.
Right.
I mean, one of them had pie in the sky ideas. They were taking the most disadvantaged kids. And again, this is an example of what I talked about earlier in the show. It's the crowding out. When you take the money, they weren't giving enough money. In other words, they allow $10,000 for a regular old run-of-the-mill student here in town. But they were allowing $5,000 for these horribly disadvantaged kids who had problems you couldn't believe. And they were giving them vouchers for $5,000. The parents had to come up with. And of course, it was doomed to failure from the start in a way. It could have been. I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't have made it, but the point is that they crowd out. They take the money and they make it impossible for somebody to make a nickel. It's like I told with the corn thing. I mean, if you're going to supply corn for free, the farmer's not going to start up anything. I mean, of course they call this in the private enterprise, in the private sector, they call this predatory pricing, and you get arrested for it. You get thrown in jail. If Walmart lowers its price on something to, quote, put somebody else out of business, all those competition, they sue the shit out of them. And they send people, they march people off to jail. But if the government provides something for, quote, free, unquote, with taxpayer money, of course, it's not free at all. In fact, it usually costs twice as much as it should. But nobody can make a deal. It's like the library system. I'm asking myself, what's wrong with the private libraries? I mean, I would like to start. Or private parks. But how can you compete? I was driving past the Ring Park here the other day, and I thought, this guy Ring, he donated the property, which, of course, then it comes off the tax rolls. You know, no more taxes on that property. but they donated the property. And I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice? What would happen if he'd said, I'm going to make this a private park and I'll charge, you know, a dollar?
Right. Or you can trust.
It, but he couldn't. You couldn't do it because you're competing with tax-supported freebie stuff. They crowd out the good stuff in the market. And they don't understand that every time they take a step like that with some taxpayer money, that it might be a good thing. But it would have happened anyway, number one. And the people that are going to use it are going to pay for it. And just on and on and on. And just, so anyway, we're headed towards luck. Can't wait on you, baby.